neglected to mention before, pray for Brother Tom as well. He's under the weather this morning. Pray that the Lord would be with him. He is such a fine brother. And, you know, there's folks that do a lot of things behind the scenes. You know, we live in a time where a lot of people want to put everything they've done out on Facebook or social media and so forth. But there's a lot of folks that do stuff behind the scenes. And Brother Tom is one of those brothers that helps keep up the grounds and stuff here, and this does so much during the week, and he's under the weather, and we love him and miss him this morning and want to pray for him. If you want to turn with me, I want to continue my look in John chapter 14. We started a series of messages several weeks ago that center around the I wills of Jesus, and the subject that we started to look at last Sunday is so expansive that there was no way that we could even cover just a few verses concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. We noted that our previous I wills, they focused in on Jesus Christ, but last Sunday we see that now Jesus points us to the Holy Spirit. And he prefaces that by telling us as God's people that he will never leave us. And I don't know about you, but I need that reminder every week. Not just one random Sunday out of the year, but I need that reminder every week. And I want to continue our look at the Spirit of God because I think it's probably the least understood and most overlooked part of the Godhead that we talked about last Sunday, the Spirit of God. I believe that for any individual to understand spiritual things, to believe God, and to have the capacity and ability to obey the Word of God, the Spirit of God has to be there. We know that in our own experiences. We understand that from the truth of God's Word. And even back in the Old Testament times, I think that the Old Testament saints, the Bible teaches us that they walked by faith. We note in Hebrews chapter 11 a number of them that are highlighted as people of faith. Well, how did they get that faith? Well, it was because of the Spirit of God within them. And I mentioned last Sunday that the Spirit of God operated differently in the Old Testament times. And this past week, I wanted to dig into that a little bit more to help elaborate. The Spirit of God is eternal. I believe the Spirit of God has been with his people here ever since people have been around, and the Spirit of God quickens his elect. But it's interesting when you think about the operation of the Spirit of God and the visual operation in the Old Testament. In many cases, we see that the work of the Spirit of God was something that was temporary, it was selective, and oftentimes task-oriented. When we were in the book of Joshua, we noted that the Spirit of God in Joshua, in the time of Joshua's life, and even mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 34, that Joshua, the son of Nun, it says that he was full of the Spirit of wisdom. And we noted how that's full of the Spirit of the wisdom of Moses is what it says, but the Spirit of God equipped Joshua as it had equipped Moses. And I remember in the book of Numbers, around Numbers chapter 11, that remember when the leadership and responsibility was delegated to not only Moses, but also to 70 elders, the Bible says that this Lord came down and in a cloud and he took the Spirit, it says, that was upon him. It was upon Moses and gave it to those 70 elders. And said when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied and did not cease. So one function of the Spirit was to empower people to lead God's people. We see it during the time of Judges. You can go to different places and see that the Spirit of God was with them. There would be times that the Spirit of God would come down and he would equip God's people for unique and special skills. I remember when the tabernacle was being constructed. We see that in Exodus chapter 31 that there were craftsmen. It says that the Spirit of God was with them, and it says it was with them in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge, and it says in all manner of workmanship. So the Spirit of God equipped individuals for unique things. The Spirit of God would come down in the Old Testament times and folks would prophesy. they would speak things concerning God. They would speak of future things concerning God. David would, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, he would say, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." That was unique operations in the Old Testament time. And prophets would speak. In the Bible, the New Testament would say that the prophecy of old time came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There was times when the Spirit was temporary. I think of Saul in this case. When Saul was anointed to be king of Israel, he was the king that the people wanted. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, we see that the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he prophesied. Some people will question whether or not Saul was really a child of God, but here in the Bible, we see that the Spirit of God was upon him. I believe that he was a child of God, but a child of God that went astray. Later on, we would see that the Spirit of God would depart from Saul and another spirit, an evil spirit, would take its place. David, the 51st Psalm, many of us are familiar with, where David is pouring out his heart in the midst of faults and failures. He would cry out unto God, "Cast me not away from thy presence," he would say. "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And especially in the Old Testament, we would see folks that would have the Spirit of God, and it would point forward to the coming of Christ. There were folks that were blessed with the Spirit of God to speak about the Messiah that was to come. Notice Isaiah chapter 11. This one really stood out to me as I was thinking about this. Isaiah says in verse 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord," speaking about the Messiah, "the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Isaiah was inspired by God, inspired by the Spirit of God, to speak of the Messiah. And in the prophecy of Joel, it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon flesh." So we see this working of the Spirit here. It would come and in unique situations equip people for the tasks that God had for them. It would equip people to lead God's people. It would equip people and empower people to prophesy of the coming Messiah. And we see that. But the wonderful blessing is when we get to John chapter 14, we see that we have the blessing that the Spirit of God will never leave us as His people. So again, there's in a sense that the Spirit of God was there in the Old Testament time, but you see the Spirit coming and going. You see the power of the Spirit in unique ways, pointing to the Messiah that was going to come. But now in the New Testament, Jesus says He's going away. He's going to be crucified, but He is not going to leave His people alone. The Spirit of God now with us as the Lord's people, it is with us always. I noted last Sunday that we do not believe that the Spirit of God can be within us one day and then exit us another day. There's an errant doctrine that in olden times was known as the hollow log doctrine, and it said that the Spirit of God was like a rabbit running in and out of a log, and people would use that as an excuse for their aberrant behavior. And you know, if they did something wrong, did something horrible, they'd say, "Well, the Spirit of God just wasn't with me at that time." That's not how it works. And Jesus says that here. He will never leave us or forsake us. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that the Spirit of God is with us? Have you had those experiences in your life where you have seen that you've been delivered from something? And the world may say, "Well, that's just your conscience," or that's just your mind's way of making sense of whatever you went through. Some people will say, "Well, that's just a little angel on your shoulder." My friends, those experiences that we have, that's not merely my conscience. That's not merely coincidence. That's not some imaginary friend. As God's people, we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And I want you to know, every second of your life, the Spirit is with you. And we noted one of the descriptors of the Spirit of God. Jesus uses the term comforter, but it literally means a counselor or a helper. Isn't that a blessing? Every second of your life, the helper is there. The Spirit of God is there. And we noted that when we read Jesus' words here in John chapter 14, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We see that encapsulated in that, they're always with us through the Spirit of God. Have you sensed that in your life? I have. There's situations where I had no understanding at all, but the Spirit of God has come and helped me make understanding of situations in my life. Decisions that I've made that if I'd have walked in my own strength and my own direction and wanted to walk in my own direction but had been guided in other ways, that's nothing else but the blessing of God. I think we've all sensed that as God's people. But I want us to think a little bit more about this. You know, we have not, as God's people, recognized the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We live in a time today where in the flesh, many of us try to seek all sorts of answers and satisfaction, confirmation, attention from all different areas of this world. And we fail to realize that as God's people, what we have is within us, and it's been within us all along as born-again children of God. We seek satisfaction in the entertainment of this world. We try to seek answers from those that have rule over us. We try to make sense of our world based off of popular opinion or based off of what we see in social media. I want you to understand we have the Spirit of God within us, and what we need to strive to do as God's people is to walk in the Spirit. And that's what I want us to look at. As God's people, we have the Spirit. We're very familiar with God the Father in so many ways. And Jesus Christ, God the Son, we're very familiar with Him. And I think of His disciples as He was speaking to them in John chapter 14. You know, they were in their minds, and He was able to read their minds. We're not, but He knew what they were thinking. As He was telling them that He was going to soon depart from them, they were probably saying within themselves, "Well, we don't want You to leave us." But He comforts them and tells them that the Spirit of God is going to be with you. And it's going to teach you. It's going to testify of the truth. It's going to give you peace and so forth. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. We get distracted in this world. And I almost wonder, too, with all of the aberrant ideas about what the Holy Spirit is, I think sometimes we're afraid to go there as far as God's people, as far as the Spirit of God. We see the things that we see on television in the name of the Spirit of God. And let me say this. The theatrics that you see on television concerning the so-called Spirit of God, they don't line up with Scripture. It's either one of two things. It's either gimmickry. It could be that. You know, you turn and understand this. In our country, the fastest growing religion or the fastest growing faith is the charismatic movement. Other orders, other denominations are on the decline, but the charismatic movement continues to grow. So this is something that's relevant and something that we need to think about. And a lot of that growth is this misguided notion of what the Spirit of God is. You know, you turn on the television, you see some of this stuff, and a guy taking his coat off and hitting people with his coat and them all falling out, being slain in the Spirit. Show me in the Bible where that is. That to me, that type of stuff, the carrying on, getting up, and I've seen people barking like a dog and calling it the Spirit of God. Show me in the Bible where that is. Now I remember reading the Bible where God used a jackass to speak like a man one time and speak clearly, but not the opposite. He's not making people bark like a dog, leap the pews and run around. And there are sincere folks that get caught up in that, but it's either a stirring up of emotions or it could be a spirit that's not of God. And I don't mean that to be mean-spirited, but where is it in the Bible? It is not scriptural, but the Spirit of God is scriptural, and the Scripture is what Jesus tells us here, that He is sending a comforter in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not about chaos and carrying on and gimmickry and all of that. The Spirit of God we're going to see is testifying of Jesus Christ. So He will send another comforter. So how do you know what the Spirit of God is? I love that it's prefaced in verse 15, and we read this very quickly last Sunday. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus, before He goes into all of this about the Spirit of God, He tells them this. He says, "If you love Me, keep my commandments. That's really kind of a waypoint for us to understand the Spirit of God. You know, if I got up here and barked like a dog, or that may or may not be entertaining. If I start, please get me some medical intervention because something has short-circuited in my brain pan. But I can do that, and I could fake that. I could get up here and get in a big way and carry on and do all of that kind of stuff and start gibbering and making sorts of some sort of unintelligible language, or get up here and run up and down the aisles. You realize that stuff can be fake. You realize that, don't you? But do you know what's really hard to fake? Consistent obedience and truth. And that's why he says there, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to feel the blessings of God, and if you want to know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, that desire to obey Him and that desire to love Him, we can fake a lot of things in this world, and human nature will distract from the things that are important. But obedience is hard to fake. A love for the Lord is hard to fake. What we're doing here this morning on the spectrum of entertaining things to do in the world is not up there with a lot of other things in this world. But if you love the Lord and you have a desire to serve Him and a desire to obey Him, even though it's a challenge for us, that's hard to fake. You might for a little while, but for a long time you're not. And the Spirit of God, the wonderful blessing is the Spirit of God, He will bring guidance and peace in your life that you cannot find in this world. You can get a euphoric rise from jumping up and down and throwing your hands up and carrying on and so forth, but true peace and guidance comes from the Spirit of God. And I think we live in a world that's starved for direction and peace and guidance, and I believe that God's people in this world are seeking those things. And we get it through the Spirit of God. So there's three things that I want us to look at as we go back to John chapter 14. And we may not get to all three of them. If we don't, we'll continue again. But what we're going to see here, Jesus is going to give three blessings of the Spirit of God. First of all, we're going to see the blessing of truth. The Spirit of God, the blessing of the Spirit of God is when the Spirit is working within us, the Spirit of God produces truth. We're going to see light as well. The Spirit of God gives us light or teaches us as God's people. And then we're going to see, we may not get here if we don't, we'll, Lord willing, look at it next Sunday. The Spirit of God gives us peace as well. Truth, light, and peace. So if you want to remember just very shortly what we're talking about. But let's go back to John chapter 14. Verse 15 again, we'll start reading there. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Notice this in verse 17 then. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." So how does the Spirit of God come? Jesus says it's the Spirit of truth. You can literally say here that Jesus is saying this is the truth-giving Spirit. I believe that he's talking about the truth here in a qualitative way, and he's saying here that the Spirit of God, it is the one that is going to give you truth. In other words, everything about the Spirit of God is wrapped up in truth. Sometimes we get ideas and concepts and even errant doctrinal ideas in our minds, and we think, well, God gave that to me. Well, how can we detect whether or not what we have come up with is of God, or it was the spaghetti we ate the night before, or just some harebrained idea that we conceived up in our minds? Well, understand, the Spirit of God is always going to testify to truth. And what do you mean, truth? Well, the Spirit of God is always going to line up with God's word of truth that was written by men who were inspired by God. So he says that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So if there's an idea or a concept that we have in our mind, something we want to do, a decision that we want to make, or some interpretation of God's word, if it does not line up with truth, It's not of God. It's not of the Spirit of God. It could be indigestion. It could be our brains coming up with some harebrained idea on its own. Don't feel called out about that, because I have harebrained ideas all the time. Let's not blame God when those things happen, though. He says it's the Spirit of truth. Everything that the Spirit of God does is wrapped up in truth. So if something happens that does not square up with the truth of God's word, that ain't the Spirit of God. He says it's the Spirit of truth. I like this in John chapter 15. He echoes this in verse 26. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father," he says, "even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So you see here, all of the Godhead wrapped up in here, and he uses this term, the Spirit of truth, again. He says the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. Here is the truth about the Godhead. It is all truth. God the Father is the God of all truth. The one that inspired men to write this word, this God-breathed word, is truthful. God the Son is truth, and the Spirit of God is truth. And I like what he says here. He says, but speaking again, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Spirit of truth, he says here, shall testify of me. What's the Spirit of God testify of? Jesus Christ. And it's all truth. And I love this. One commentator said this as I was studying this a couple of weeks ago, emphasizing this truth here, that the job or the office of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. This commentator said that when you study the Word of God, you see that the Spirit of God is shy. The Spirit of God never draws attention to itself, but the Spirit of God is always drawing attention to Jesus Christ. That's amazing to think about, isn't it? So if someone is acting in such a way to draw attention to themselves by hooping and hollering and barking like a dog and turning cartwheels through here, that's not of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is always testifying of Jesus Christ. And within us, is that not what the Spirit of God does? It blesses us to desire spiritual things and to love and to understand Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So I want to ask you the question this morning. Who are you trusting in this morning to guide you into truth and in paths of righteousness? Because there's a lot of ideas out there, a lot of things that purport to be teaching the truth. You turn on the television and you can go to the different extremes of news networks out there. All of them claim to be the truth. Most of them are not by any stretch of the imagination. Who do you trust to guide you to the truth? There's publications out there in the name of religion and in the name of philosophy, in the name of higher education that says, you know, our quest is for you to better understand the truth. There are men out there that were proclaimed to be the harbingers of truth. Follow me and you'll understand the truth. I'll take you down the path of enlightenment, and so on and so forth. Such as the world goes. There is one that we can 100% hang our hat on as far as blessing us with truth and understanding the truth, and that is the Spirit of God. Now, you know, you say, well, Brother Michael, don't you preach the truth? I try my best to preach the truth, but don't you follow me, because I'm merely a man. But as I try to preach the Word of God and preach the truth by the Spirit of God, that's how you're to follow me. It says he's the Spirit of truth. And he says here in John 16, verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come," notice what it says here, "he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." Remember I said the Spirit of God is shy. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." We can 100% trust that the Holy Spirit is truthful all of the time. You really ultimately can't trust anything else in this world. You know, everything else in this world we need to take, as my grandfather would say, take with a grain of salt. Now, that doesn't mean we live our lives cynical, but we need to be critical thinkers and rightly divide the word of truth. That's why you're not merely a spectator this morning. If I mess up, or if someone else messes up from this pulpit, you need to be listening and grounded in the truth. So if I say something that, if I misspeak or say something that's wrong, you as a member of this body, you come and lovingly say, hey, that doesn't square with Scripture. I can mess it up. You know, the institutions of this world can mess it up. Sometimes they do it without awareness that they're doing it. But there's a lot of people who purport to have the truth in this world that have some kind of agenda that they're trying to promote. The agenda of the Holy Spirit is to shine the spotlight on Jesus Christ, to testify of Him. I'm thankful that as God's people, we have access to the truth through the Holy Spirit of God. It's not like the movie that said you can't handle the truth. By the grace of God, we can understand the truth and by the Spirit of God be able to grasp the truth in our lives because of His work within us. And I'm thankful ultimately that the truth isn't found in this old world. I've known people that in higher education, people who take great pride in thinking that they have achieved the ultimate understanding of truth in this world. There's many a philosopher and many a thinker, people far smarter than me, that have tried to seek the truth in this world, tried to seek their ultimate meaning in this world, and try to make sense of this world around us. A lot of them left this world frustrated. A lot of them, their lives just spiraled in this world because, you know what happens if we're trying to seek ultimate truth in this world? It's either going to lead us to be very arrogant people that no one can be around, or will drive us into a spiral of depression and madness, because if this is all that there is to it, how frustrating and dejecting that is. I'm thankful the truth isn't found in this old world. The Bible talks about the devil as being the prince of the power of the air, that he has influence in this world. It says that he's a liar from the beginning, and we understand his workings in this world is working lies, so don't be surprised that we live in a world that's deceptive. A sin-cursed world, and then folks with agendas that want to deceive God's people. It's because we live in this broken world, and this world ultimately isn't our home. But by the Spirit of truth, we understand that this isn't all that there is to it. A wonderful verse in an obscure part of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3. The old prophet, he says this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, it says, shall be called a city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." This is a world of lies that we live in, but I'm thankful we're headed to a city made of God that's called the city of truth. The God of all truth will be there, and we have the Spirit of truth within us that reminds us of that. Take this world with a grain of salt. Seek truth. Seek meaning in the different avenues of life. But understand that really the ultimate truth is of God. He says it's the Spirit of truth. And then as we go on, not only do we see the Spirit of God being the Spirit of truth, but also the Spirit of light or enlightenment in teaching. This way says in John chapter 14 and verse 26. Again, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," it says, "he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Spirit of God enlightens. The Spirit of God is a teacher. Sometimes people will take this to an extreme, and I think that we have to take some time and suss this out a little bit. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, really, you know, I just want Jesus, and, you know, if what you say here, that the Holy Spirit of God is going to teach us all things, why do we even come to church? Why do we even read the Bible? Well, the Bible teaches us as God's people that there are responsibilities on our part to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Paul in multiple places would tell the young ministers that he was a father in the ministry to study the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not just for preachers, that's for all of us. We're to attend, we're to assemble together, we're to be diligent. But we understand with all of that, it takes the Spirit of God to understand. So he says here, that speaking of the Spirit of God, when he says he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, he's talking about that work of the Spirit and how the Spirit of God will take these things that we do in the service of God and bless it and make it real and understandable to us. I liken it this. You know, Jesus taught in parables, didn't he? He taught, as he taught in the multitudes, he taught in parables. There's a couple of places. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. In Luke chapter 8, he's talking about the parable of the sowers, the sower who sows the seeds in the different types of grounds. That's a good message in and of itself. But he teaches them that these different grounds that this seed was sown in is basically how folks receive the teachings of God. I think it was written to us as disciples when you read it. But he teaches them, Luke chapter 8 and verse 9, he asks his disciples, saying, what might this parable be? Another place in Matthew chapter 13, around verse 24, he teaches another parable of the wheats and tares, not as well known as the other one, but in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. He gives them another parable. Going back to Luke chapter 8 then in verse 10. He asks them the question in verse 9, what might this parable be? Verse 10, and this is the point I want you to get, and I want us to tie it into us with the Spirit of God. He says in verse 10 of Luke chapter 8, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. So Jesus taught in parables, and Jesus would explain these parables to his disciples. And as these things were taught, there were some folks that were given understanding, and then some folks that weren't. It was made clear to his followers, but confusing to other people. Now, when Jesus said that the Spirit of God shall teach you all things, I think what we understand here as a follower of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us and blesses us to understand the things of God as we read them, as we study them, as we come and together and hear the Word of God preach. Does that mean that we're going to know and all understand all things this side of glory? No. The older I get, the more I realize I've just scratched the surface concerning the things of God. But the Spirit of God blesses us in our studies, blesses us in our diligence to serve God, and blesses us with understanding. How are you able to open up the Word of God and understand anything at all? By the Spirit of God. And now I want to tell you, there are folks that have high degrees in this world on the Bible that don't have a lick of spiritual understanding of what's going on. Folks have gone to college for multiple years, and they have gotten doctoral degrees on the Bible that are not believers in Jesus Christ. You can do that. You can get the textbook understanding, but to get the spiritual meaning, it takes the Spirit of God. And that's what he's talking about, it teaching us all things. It's not, the Spirit of God doesn't work this way. The Spirit of God is not just going to funnel in what we need without us ever putting in work in reading and studying the Word of God. Some people believe that. Some people believe that if God wants me to know anything at all, he's just going to magically and mystically pull it in, pour it in my head. That's not the case, is it? No, what we're to do as God's people is to have a steady diet of God's Word through reading the Word of God, That's why I believe consistent reading of the Word of God is important. Studying the Word of God on a verse-by-verse basis. That's why I try to be careful to, more often than not, try to preach from God's Word on a verse-by-verse basis. We need that because God is not going to mystically and magically pour it into our heads. I've known some individuals that have claimed to be preachers of the Word of God that believe that God would just do that in their preaching. There's folks out there, even today, that don't believe in studying the Word of God. Well, when I stand up from the pulpit, God's just going to give me what I need to say to the people. You guys think I'm not spectacular now? If I did that, it would sure enough be a mess. God, you know, to borrow another old term, funnel preacher, God will just pour it down and it'll come out. That's not the way it works. God, you know, can God do that? If God wanted to, He could do that. But that's not how God operates with us as His people. He calls us to be obedient and faithful through the reading and the studying of God's Word. And then by His Spirit, He blesses us. You know, we get frustrated when we read the Bible and get the things that we don't understand. But don't let that discourage you. Keep reading, because somewhere down the road, you're going to have a circumstance or an experience in your life, and you're going to have studied and committed God's Word to your mind, and the Spirit of God's going to bless you and give you comfort in that time. That's the comforter that we serve. You're going to be somewhere where you need clarity someday, and God's going to bring it to you. You know, you just leaving the Bible on the table and never opening it up, that's not being obedient to what God has called us to do. He's called us to study as ministers of the gospel and as God's people to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's given us this inspired word to read and to study, and then by His Spirit, He will open it up to us. Again, those experiences, those times in your life where you have been blessed with peace and comfort in the midst of just unimaginable sorrow and difficulty, that's the Spirit of God. And how many times does the truth and the Word of God come to your mind? That's how the Spirit of God works. He could just pour it in our heads, but He ain't doing it. You know, those that believe that He just funnels it out, that just becomes a big mess, and it's not edifying to God's people. Just becomes a bunch of theatrics again. But going on, John chapter 14 and verse 26 again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, it says, He shall teach you all things. And then notice what He says here, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? He teaches us, He brings things to remembrance. We need to be filling our mind with the things of God. And He'll bring them to our remembrance in times of need. That's not real flashy. That's not like a bright neon sign. But that's good news, isn't it? Your labor in the reading and the study, coming to the Lord's house, it's not in vain. God blesses it and uses it in our lives through the Spirit of God. I think what the Apostle Paul said, you know, and it takes the Spirit of God to comprehend spiritual things. Notice what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 10 through 14. Again, oftentimes we disregard the work of the Spirit in our lives, but Paul says this to the church at Corinth, this church that was really steeped in Greco-Roman classical education. And you think about Corinth and you think about everything that you read about in school, high school and college, you know, about the Greeks and their knowledge and their understanding. This was the area that the church of Corinth was located. So that mindset and philosophy impacted them. He says this, starting in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says this, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Revealed what? The things of God by His Spirit. For it says, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then he asks this question in verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He says, you know, the man, you know, men and women, understand the things of this world. I'm just paraphrasing the things of this world, because those are worldly things that we understand. Then he says this, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You have an understanding of the things of God. It's because the Spirit of God is dwelling within you. That doesn't mean you know it all. Because, again, the flesh wars against the Spirit, and we're finite creatures. But you see here, the Spirit of God within us helps us understand and know the things of God. Verse 12, he says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit," he says, "which is of God." Notice this, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things," he says, "also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." My friends, what a wonderful blessing. Just finite, feeble creatures like me, we're able to understand the things of God. We're able to grasp to some degree doctrinal concepts. The concept that God came down and lived a perfect life so that I would be in heaven, you're not going to find that in the world. The world says you get it done on your own or it doesn't get done. But through the Spirit of God, we know that I wasn't able to get it done, but God was. And then he really wraps it up in verse 14 when he says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The Spirit of God teaches us. The Spirit of God brings things to our remembrance that the natural man, apart from the Spirit of God, does not have. And that's a wonderful blessing. That's a miracle, isn't it? That's a miracle. And again, when we think, you know, it's kind of like the Godhead. I don't know how he gets all of that done, but by faith I believe that, and that gives me comfort, and that's the reason I can get out of bed every morning. By faith we understand that. There's a lot of things that we take by faith and never think about. You get on an airplane, I'm going to get on an airplane, and that airplane, that multi-thousand-pound piece of metal is going to be able to get up off the ground and in the air and, you know, lift and drag work, and that thing can get off the air with out in the air with thrust. And, you know, even the most highly decorated engineers that have ever existed still haven't gotten all that figured out. But I'm going to get on that plane, and by faith, I'm going to get to where I'm going to get to Texas next week, Lord willing. There's things like that we don't worry about. Our cell phones. Now, I noticed not too long ago, my cell phone now, it used to be you would get out in the woods and you would lose signal all together. Now I've got a little satellite that'll pop up on my cell phone that if things got really bad, I could send out a text and it will take what I'm putting here in this phone and I guess send a bunch of zeros and ones of data up to a satellite, and wherever I'm sending that message, it'll get there. I don't know how all that works, but it works, and I've got faith that it will. Well, as God's people, that's how the Spirit of God works within us. The natural man, it says, receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So the Spirit of God can take these deep, unfathomable truths that we enjoy as God's people and through the new birth bless us to be able to grasp and understand them. Now again, people have spent years and years of their lives devoted to studying the Bible that don't believe in Jesus, that don't believe in miracles, that don't believe in the fallen nature of man, that don't believe in a literal heaven or hell. But then again, feeble creatures like me and you, we have that understanding by faith. It's because the Spirit of God enlightens us. It teaches us. It brings it to remembrance, things that the natural man cannot receive. We are blessed with truths in the Word of God and understand things that we would never grasp on our own. You know, I don't know about you, but that just makes me excited to think about. Because I know how foolish I am. I know how weak and finite I am. He illuminates us and gives us spiritual understanding. I think of an old hymn that we used to sing. It went this way. The hymn writer says this. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free." That's what the Spirit of God does for us. It opens our eyes spiritually. Song then goes on, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything else will disappear. There's more to that poem, but the chorus goes like this. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illuminate me, Spirit divine. As we try to seek answers and make sense of the world around us, let's remember that we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that we're able to take the things of God and study them and apply them to our lives and have understanding from them. Not merely as we would study a social studies textbook in school, but read and study and have real comfort and real application in our lives. He has not left us alone. May we rightly divide the word of truth. May we learn of the Spirit of God that dwells within us, and may we use what God has given us to His honor and to His glory. What a wonderful God we serve. We did not get to the third one, Lord willing. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, we will get to that and continue to look at that wonderful truth. Let's turn to song number 154, How Firm a Foundation.